Come on, everyone. We're like John said, we're from Hebrews 1 verses 4 to 14 today. We're going to look at the difference between Christ Jesus and the angels. The differences between that. But first of all, I just want to mention a couple of things to you. On February the 4th, this is a future announcement. We've got the Sofa Prayer Network here at Mount Chapel. It's the first time it's been at Mount Chapel for about 3 or 4 years at least. And we're going to be praying with this church from across Sofa coming together to pray to see God keep on changing our city. You know, we hear a lot at the moment about recession, about credit crunch, about this, that and the other. But you know, there's no recession in God's kingdom. You know, there isn't. It doesn't lack anything. He's not going, the footsie's down again. It doesn't affect him. You know, he's still got as much to give as he ever had. He's still got as much to bless as he ever had. And so we're going to be praying. We're going to be praying for two things. We're going to be praying for families in Salford. You know, family life is at the very heart of who God is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Family life is at the very heart of who God is. God loves family. He loves family that much, he actually created the church and called it his family. We're his family. And if we're his family in a city, we're his role model family to that city. So the church is called to pray into family life in the city, but also to show family life and to speak out family life into the city. Show good things and speak out good things into families. So we're going to pray about that. And one bit of good news that came through just before Christmas, that Salford went up a level, and it's in its target for looked after kids. We're a one, and a one is the lowest you can get when you get Ofsted-ed for looked after kids as a city. We have a major issue, major problem with the amount of children going into care in Salford. We were at a one, we're now at a two. Isn't that great? We've come up one. There's five levels, we've come up one. You know, we're getting better and the city's turning around. Lots of prayer went into that, as well as lots and lots of hard work with people throughout the city. And another answer to prayer, we're going to be praying for another thing that night, Media City UK. You might think, why do we keep on praying about this? Because it is a significant thing. When you get about a third of the BBC relocating to Salford, then it comes under our patch we pray for. And the BBC affects the world. Every children's programme from when the BBC arrives will be commissioned in Salford. Everything to do with ethics and religion will be commissioned in Salford. Everything to do with sports on the BBC will be commissioned in Salford. So we need to pray into it. Imagine if the religious side, the Christian side, influenced the children's programming. Wouldn't that be great? And fed the children of our nation around the world some great things. So we're going to be praying into that. An answer to prayer on that came just before Christmas again. Don't know if you know, there's going to be these three or four main routes into where Media City is. There's one coming off Trafford Road, Trafford Road near the docks, the old docks office, just further up. And at the corner of that, they're going to build the new Oasis School and Church. That's going to be at that one. Langworthy Road, you've got us at the very top, and as you go down along the road, a number of churches. Langworthy Community Church, Emmanuel, and then you come to World Harvest. And then they're building a brand new road, coming from Eccles. It's amazing. To get to Media City UK, you're going to have to come off the motorway at Eccles, which means place of the church, and be sent down a new road they're going to be built to get into Media City, around the back near Centenary Bridge. And you know what? Just before Christmas, planning permission was given for one of the brand new units to be turned into a church at the start of that road. And that's Lighthouse Church. We've outgrown the church in Cholton. They're going to move into Salford, and we've been working with them on that. Quite a few hundred Christians worship at that church. They do an amazing job, and they're committed with the council to do work in the community. So it's not just going to be a church where people come into, they'll do work in the community. So each major road now has a church at the head of it. Isn't that amazing? You know, God's got his eye on the media. He knows how to get the word around, his word, around the world through media. And it's part of it. So when we're praying into those things. Anyway, let's get on to what we're doing today. So, but you can get excited about what God's doing. He's going to keep on doing it this year. Well, let's look at this. Hebrews chapter 1, we're just going to read verse 4 because it does reflect on what we're going to talk about. So starting from verse 4, and it just says this: having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall to be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he said, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is for ever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And, I like ands, like a bit extra. You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. But to which of the angels has he said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Thank God for that reading from his word. Here, the angels are being compared with Christ. Why? We're going to look into that a bit differently. But the angels have been ministering, sent by God to minister to the children of Israel for generations upon generations. And they knew these amazing stories that we'll look at some of these in a minute. Some of these amazing stories of these angels. And Paul was restating actually Jesus Christ is far above any angel. Angels are amazing beings, but Jesus Christ is far above any angels. Even today sometimes, don't we, when people talk about angels. There's internet sites, there's all sorts of things, just focusing on angels. And sometimes the people who focus on angels are ignoring Christ and God and just talking about encounters with beings. But ignoring the one who the angels serve and bring the message of. But these people were struggling, moving from angels bringing the message, and they still were going to realise that Christ was even greater than the angels and bring that message. You know, sometimes we struggle, don't we? When something new happens, we struggle to accept it. If I was if we talk about football for a second, excuse for anyone who doesn't like football, and you were to say, who is the greatest player ever to play for United? Now, I'll have a guess. Joe would say, correct. I'm going to guess that one really well. Joe would say George Best. And it's very hard then, after everyone for years focused on that was the greatest player, or the greatest world player, people might say Pele. And everyone then is compared with that. But sometimes we blow people out of proportion, not saying those two people were, but we blow them out of proportion. It becomes very hard for somebody else or something else to be seen as greater than that thing or that person. It can happen in churches, when churches change leaders. I was in a church the other week, and they were saying, they were reminiscing about somebody who led the church for 35 years. And every minister who followed that person was compared, and you ever believe it, they never came up to that standard. And they were looking back, and comparing, saying, we remember the great things that minister did. Sometimes it's hard to accept something new. You know, when I was just in my last couple of years at school, they just started a computer course. It shows how old I am, doesn't it? And computers are these things like you saw on the old James Bond where they have these big cylinders and they fill the room this size. And they got these little cars with punched holes came out of it to give you the answer. And you know, if you asked at that time, who on the options, when I was taking my options back in the 70s, who is going to take the option of computers, or who's going to take the option of learning to type on a manual typewriter? It was more people, not me, I listened to, went for the typing than went for the computing. Because they thought there was more chance of having a job in typing than in computing. And computers would never take over the world. No one ever uses a manual typewriter, or hardly anyone nowadays, do they? They'll use computers. But people couldn't see it. It was hard to accept what was going to happen. If you go back even further, and I don't honestly remember this, if you go back even further, just before the turn of the last century, you say to people, you go into the States, would you like to go in a car and then fly in the future? Or is it by stagecoach and then on a boat? People couldn't perceive 100 years ago that you'd be flying to the States. People still thought you'd be sailing across. Things change. Better things come along. And that's what's happened here. The people who were followers of God at this stage knew about angels. But they started to, Paul, the writer of the Hebrews had to really put into them, look, realize this is a new day. Realize this is a new type of ministry, Christ, the fulfillment of the Messiah. This is a new thing. And so he goes on to explain that. We're going to look at under three headings as we go through this. First of all, we're going to look at angels for our first one. Then we're going to look at Christ. And then we're going to see what our response is to these things. Let's look at the two verses on the angels here, which is verse 7 and verse 14. Verse 7 reads like this: and of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. And verse 14 says of the angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Angels are ministering spirits. Have a think about what that means. They're ministering spirits sent by God. Does an angel have a physical body that you can see? Can do, can't it? You know, think back to the Christmas story. If it didn't, the shepherds would have wondered where the voice came from. They could see the angels. First of all, one angel, then a multitude of angels they saw. Can you imagine that for a minute? Just stop and think about what we're talking about here for a minute. You're going about your job. If you haven't got a job, remember when you had one. You know, you're going about your day-to-day work. You're going shopping on the Co-op on the high. And you come across, just in your day-to-day life, an angel brings a message from God to you. And then, the joy in heaven is so great. And this is what sometimes we need to grasp hold of, what the joy in heaven is like. It was so great that all the other ministering beings, all these other angels, couldn't wait to rejoice and sing. And they just, it happened. I don't think it was just a choir of 10 or 20. The night sky was full of them. You look how big the night sky is. It's huge. The volume. You might have been to a few loud gigs in your time. This did your ears in. The volume of it. The power of it. The awesome worship of it. Was that? This is, angels are. They're spirits. Ministering spirits. Angels. They can have that physical body that we can see them, that we can encounter with them. It goes on to say in verse 7, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. They come as a minister with a flame of fire. Fire represents the fire of God, the Holy Spirit. They're pure. They're holy. They're sinless, these angels. As we've talked about before, some of the angels did decide to turn against God and went away from God. But the two birds that stay with God are pure. There's a fire in them. There's a fire on them. But it's interesting, if you look at the relationship of the angel with God as against the Son, Christ, with God the Father. In John 17, it tells us that Jesus prays that they, praying for us, that they will be in me just like I am in you, and my glory, meaning the Spirit, will be upon them. So the Son was interwoven in his relationship with the Father and with the Spirit. There was a oneness, a communion there together. The angels were servants of the Godhead, our servants of the Godhead. So they have something put upon them, a message to bring. The message doesn't, as we'll look at in a minute, doesn't, unlike Christ, doesn't come from within them. It's given to them to do. Verse 14 says this about these angels: are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who inherit salvation? They are called to minister to those who inherit salvation before and afterwards, helping protect people so they come to faith. Isn't that amazing? In your Revelation, it talks about the angels. Every church in Revelation 2 and 3 as an angel. So the angel of the church in Laodicea, right. So the angel of the church, right. So the angel of the church of Mount Chapel, right. So the ministering spirit given to Mount Chapel to protect, to enhance, to help it move forward with God. So the angels across the city of Salford who are ministering, called by God to minister into the life of the city. Ministering angels, ministering to those who will inherit salvation. Let's just look briefly as we think about this into the background of these angels. Why was it these people, who these Hebrews, were struggling with this concept that Christ was even greater than the angels? Some of the stories they were used to in Genesis 16. Flick back there very quickly. Genesis 16, verses 6 and 7. Reads like this. This is a story of Haggai and Ishmael. When Ishmael was going to be born to Haggai, and Abram and Sarah was driving them out, and an angel appeared to them. And it says this, verses 6 and 7. So Abram and Sarah, indeed your maid is in your hand. So Abram said to Sarah, indeed your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sarah dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her at a spring of water in the wilderness. The angel of the Lord went out, called by God to her, and he ministered to her. An encounter with an angel. Genesis 23, verse 20 and 21, reads like this. Not Genesis, Exodus, sorry, 23. I'm putting the wrong... let's see if I've got that right. Exodus 23. And it says here, the angel, it's called the angel of the presence. Behold, I send an angel, this is the children of Israel, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I promised and prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Sending an angel before you to lead you forward, to prepare a way for you. So there's another angel, Balaam's donkey in Numbers. Balaam goes riding on a donkey and he's not doing what he should be doing, and an angel stands before him. Balaam's not seeing the things of God at that time, so he doesn't see the angel, but the donkey does. It's a very interesting story. But angels are around. Angels are supernatural beings. Angels are there to minister to us, to lead us on, but they're not greater than Christ. doesn't mean we should dismiss the talk of angels. We shouldn't do, they're sent by God. But they're not greater than Christ. We need to understand their role. Now let's look at Jesus himself. Back in Hebrews, we're going to break up looking at Jesus himself into three areas. We're going to look at this passage here reveals to us the sonship of Jesus. Jesus the ruler and Jesus the creator. So we're going to look at Jesus who is greater than the angels. And it says in verse 4 of Jesus, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. You know, names are significant, aren't they? Names mean something. Names have a meaning. You go sometimes to the seaside and see these gift shops and they have a name on a mug and it gives the name, the meaning of the name. But names have significance. If I was to walk into Microsoft and my name, which it isn't, in case anyone's after a bit of money afterwards, my name was Bill Gates, which it isn't, honest, and I walked into Microsoft, I could do whatever I wanted. Why? Because I own the company. People see my name and know it's powerful. It means something. Names are significant. Names are powerful. It says here about Jesus that he, by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. By inheritance. Where did he get his name from? He inherited it. If you inherit something, you get it from your father. So he inherited from his father a name that was significant. Very significant. Very powerful. Things would happen when that name was used. In Isaiah 9 verse 6, it tells us some of the names of Christ. Isaiah 9 verse 6 says this. Says these words. For unto us a child is born, talking about what Christmas we celebrate, this is a prophecy before Christmas, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. He'll govern, he'll rule the world, which we'll come to in a minute. He'll rule, and his name will be called. And his name is a description of who he is, the power he has, the authority he has. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there will be no end. He will sit on the throne of David and over his kingdom. Let's think about that a minute. Just take one of the elements of that name for time's sake. Wonderful Counselor. Within him is all wisdom and wise words. If you need wise counselling, go to Christ. Wise words in Christ, he doesn't hear them from somebody else, then give them to you. That's the role of an angel. An angel receives a message from God, gets the message, goes, and delivers those words. That's the role of the angel. An amazing role, that's the role of the angel. Christ has wisdom within him. He's a wonderful counsellor. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows your situation this morning. And he can speak with authority and with power into the centre of your situation. Because he's a wonderful counsellor. And he's the Prince of Peace. Shalom, the Hebrew word for peace, means total well-being. Not just physical, emotional, spiritual, total well-being. He's the bringer of total well-being into the centre of your situation. His name describes who he is. What he's about. You know, the next 5 evening services, we're going to be looking at the names of God. And we're going to learn more about God. And in learning more about God, we can apply that to our lives and we can grow and we can move forward with him. And realise more and more who he is. That's who Christ is. He's this wonderful counsellor. If we get back into Hebrews and move through, Verse 5 says this about Jesus: "You are my son, today I have begotten you." And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall to be my son." The angels were created by God. Jesus was begotten. What does begotten mean? Begotten means to be fathered. To be fathered. Now, I can create... What could I create? I can create a model. I could go in my cellar and saw some things up and create a model. But I've begotten, I've fathered a daughter. She has DNA from me. She has genes from me. These things about that reflect me. The good things. Only joking. That's where she's from. Christ was begotten of the Father. An angel was created by him. It's a massive difference. Christ was begotten. He was part of the Godhead. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's part of that Godhead. Part of that awesomeness. You know, as we said at the start, families are important to God. I just want to stop here and just say this. Your family that you're in is radically important to God. God cares about your family. Cares about the situation your family's in, whether that's good or it's a bit harder at the minute. And Christ cares as well, and he's a wonderful counsellor. He's a Prince of Peace. He can speak into the very heart of your family, into any situation, whether it's good or bad, you're facing. He's there with you, and he can turn it round. When you're struggling, he can give you the strength to carry on. I was talking to somebody I know very well over Christmas, and you know what Christmas, when the kids bring presents forward, or sometimes not just the children, bring the presents forward. She went forward at her church at the end. She's a lady, she goes forward. Puts her hands up, "Can I come forward, can I share?" She takes nothing with her. Do you know what she went forward to say? "This year, I got my daughter back. Last Christmas, my daughter was an addict. My daughter was in prostitution. My daughter was in other things. I'd been the donkey's years. Her kids have been took off her, taken to care. This year, I got my daughter back." And her daughter was sat in the church with her. That is Christ. That is that wonderful counsellor. That is that Prince of Peace. That is the potential. That is the difference between a ministering angel, which is powerful, which is wonderful, which is awesome, and the strength and the authority of Christ. Christ is a son of the Father. He's part of that. And verse 6 says this. God says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." All those ministering spirits, all those angels, they worship him. Because he is the Son of the living God. He's also a ruler. It goes on to say in verses 8 and 9, But to the Son he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." What does he do? "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever." Christ sits on the throne. He's in heaven, seated in the place of authority. The throne is the place of authority. He's sat in the place of authority. You think sometimes things are falling, things can fall, break down around you. He's still in that place of authority. He's in a place of authority, and he's got a scepter in his hand. You know what a scepter? A scepter is like the stick of authority. Very posh stick. Not one you took for your dog. Very posh stick. It's the stick of authority. And you know when you used to go into a king in years past? they would hold out the scepter as they passed a judgment on you or passed a blessing on you. Because that was the authority. They would hold it out and they would point it at you. And his scepter is one of righteousness. He sits on the throne of authority, holds in his hand the very symbol that says he has authority. And he uses that authority. He speaks that authority out. When Christ was on earth, he went to people and he told them to be healed. And they were healed. He told lame people to walk, blind people to see. He talked to people and he brought them back into a right relationship with Christ. He spoke with authority all the time. He had that authority. And it says there again, end of 9, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Christ loves righteousness. People being in a right relationship with God, he loves it. That's what he wants. He hates people being opposed to God, coming against God. That's his heart. It goes on to say then at the end, with the oil of, therefore God your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than any of your companions. So he sat on a throne with all authority, with the scepter in his hand going, and he's waiting for us sometimes to intercede and ask him to do things. But he sat there anointed with gladness. You know, in the Bible when it talks about anointing, they poured oil over people to anoint them. Not just a little, you know, sometimes you see people put a little. They poured it on. So it ran down the hem of the garments. Christ has got gladness flowing over him. And those who reach out to him and get that scepter in their direction, the oil of gladness pours. An angel can't do that for you. The oil of gladness starts to flow. The oil of gladness, even in suffering, even in hard times, in good times, no matter what the times are, the joy of the Lord is your strength, the gladness is welling up. It flows from him to you. He's got it poured over him. He doesn't want to see his joint heirs. We're Christ's joint heirs, sons and daughters of the King. He doesn't want us to see us struggling to get through. He wants to see the anointing poured on us and poured over us. He wants to see you have the spirit of gladness. To face the hard times with that something that you can't explain, but it's welling up inside you going, you know you can face them. Because they know you, they're not going to defeat you. Because in him, we have the victory. In him, we have the gladness. In him, the Son, we have that authority. He's also the Creator. Just read this here. It says, the Lord in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. In John 1:1-3, it talks about Christ being the Word, being the one who spoke out and things were created. He's capable of creation. The Father willed it, the Son spoke out, and the Spirit went in power and things happened. He's the Creator. But do you know there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth? It talks here, in this passage. It's quite amazing, poetical, very powerful and correct speech. It says here, and the heavens and the earth work are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. In Revelation 20, verse 11, it says this, then I saw a great white throne and him sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and they found no place for 21 verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Sin has affected the earth. And when we come back and we reign with him, there'll be a new earth and a new heaven. There'll be no corruption, there'll be no illness, there'll be no sickness, there'll be no major problems, there'll be no problems. He will do it. It's saying it, that's who he is. That's the difference between Christ and the angels. But things will change, the earth changes, but Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just like our response, very brief, as we come into a end. Who is Christ to us? Who is Christ to us this morning? To the people then, this letter was written to, they were struggling to, and it had to be retaught, Christ was greater than the angels, but who is he to us? Whether we like it or not, we all make a response. Whether that's a response of, I'm not making any response, that's still a response. Isn't it? It's a response. Ask you a question. Who is Christ to you this morning? Is Christ the Son of God? If it's the Son of God, and you say, hey, I believe he's that this morning, you've got to take on board John 3, 16 and 17, where Jesus says himself these words. Jesus says these words, John 3, 16 and 17, for God, talking about his Father, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but will have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If we believe Jesus is the Son of God and came and died on that cross to take the punishment for the things we've done right so we can have forgiveness and rose again as victorious, then we're in God's family. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're in God's family. If we believe in the sonship of Jesus Christ and believe on Jesus Christ, that's how we come into God's family. That's how we become, as the Bible talks about it, a joint heir of Christ Jesus. We can be blessed just the same way as God bless Christ Jesus in many different ways. We believe Jesus is the Son of God. We believe in the sonship. Do we believe in Christ's authority? Do we believe that actually he has an authority? He sits on that throne, has that scepter and has an authority. Do we believe in what situations we find ourselves in? Christ is there for us in authority. We can turn to him and ask him to change things, whether it's in our personal life, the life of our city, the life of our nation. That he's there waiting for us to intercede to him, to intervene. Do we believe that? Do we believe Christ is a Christ of authority? And do we believe Christ is the creator? If we believe he's the creator, we also then must believe that he gave us dominion over the earth. That we have a responsibility to those things around us. And we need to act upon that. So those three things. Do we believe Christ is the Son of God? Do we believe in his authority? Do we believe in his creator? And do we act upon these things? The start, not quite the start, but nearly the start of this year. It's a great time to think through how we're going to face this year. Are we going to face it in Christ Jesus? Or are we going to try and face it in our own strength? If we face it in Christ Jesus, amazing things are there to happen. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you that Christ Jesus is far greater than the angels. That he truly is the Son of God. He truly sits on that throne, has that scepter in his hand and has that authority. Nothing is impossible for him. He is the creator of all things and has given us dominion over all things. Father God, this year we want to be a year when we fulfill our potential in that relationship with you. That we see you do things in our families, we see you do things in our church, we see you do things in our city, in our workplace, wherever we go, we want you to change lives for the better. You to bring that shalom peace, you to bring that hope, and bring it through us. Give us the words to speak into people's lives, we pray. May we stay close to you at all times. And Father God, as a church, we pray that we will grow this year in you. We will be stronger at the end of this year than we are at the start. Both spiritually, numerically, financially, etc. We'll be stronger. We pray, Father God, you'll add to our numbers this year people who come to Christ Jesus for the first time. We pray for that in the name of Jesus. Amen.